Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word. We're going to read verse number 7 through verse number 10. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the white linen is the righteousness of saints. And he said unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. He said unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, once again, I do want to thank you for the Bible, God's wonderful word. And Lord, once again tonight, the great privilege we have at looking at your word and seeing those wonderful things, Lord, that's going to come to pass. Thank you for the promises that you have for us in the future. We're very grateful for those. And Lord, it just helps us from day to day to just be busy and do the things we need to be doing, looking forward to those wonderful, wonderful times in eternity. And now, Lord, we ask you tonight once again to take your word and use it to your glory and honor. I need your power. I need your wisdom tonight, Lord. I ask you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Last week, we spent some time on the subject of the wife has made herself ready. If you remember that, we went to different places in the scripture and showed how that God cleanses his people. He's busy about that now in every one of us' lives. And he will finish the cleansing process at the judgment seat of Christ. We covered those things. I was reminded this week about the wedding, Luke and Hannah's wedding. Down through life, you come upon once in a while something very special. And in weddings, I've had a few very special ones. Now, I didn't do this wedding. I was there. I participated some, but I didn't do the wedding, but it was something special. There's like I say, weddings, as when you deal with it as a pastor's standpoint, maybe it'll help you to understand this, maybe help your children, maybe help you. From a pastor's standpoint, the whole desire, you know, for a wedding is to honor and glorify God. Now, that's what it's all about for the Christian. Now, for the world, they couldn't care less. They don't care whether God is honored or God is glorified. That means nothing to them. But to the Christian, it's the whole purpose of the wedding is to bring honor and glory to the Lord. Or that's the way it should be. I've had a lot of weddings. I've seen weddings where many times, people want to bring worldly things into a Christian wedding. They kind of want to make it half and half. They want to bring worldly music in, little things that are done are worldly and things like this, rather than to every item, everything that's done in the wedding, they look to the Lord and they say, I want to honor you, I want to glorify you. They're not interested in any way of bringing the world into the wedding. Now, that's important. As a church, I set up some standards and things that people are supposed to do and give that to them when they get married here and all of those things. And many times, they'll do anything they can to go around those. I made a standard that I'm never going to stand and marry someone where I see the cleavage of the bride's breast. I'm not going to stand there and look at them. I'm not going to do it. And yet, many, many times, that's what they want to do. They want to put on some outfit that looks like something that the world would wear. And I don't want anything to do with it. Just don't want anything to do with it. You know, go get married down at the Justice of Peace or over at the Catholic Church or somewhere else. Here, we want to honor God. We want to honor God. I want God's, the music that would honor the Lord in a wedding. the idea sometimes, and let me just share with you, the idea a lot of times in church membership, people come in to get married, and they think because that they're getting married, they can do anything they want. Well, that's not true. I still pastor. And I'm responsible for taking care of this church. So what I'm saying all of those things to say to you, the wedding that Luke and Hannah had, it was not that, and although they did, Brother Bragg and Brother Brown just done a tremendous job. Just done a great job. But that wasn't what made it so great. Everybody, as far as I'm concerned, the ones, the attendants, and all of those that was in the wedding and all of those things, it was good. They done a fine job. But the difference was this. You could tell in the planning of the wedding, Luke and Hannah's planning of the wedding, everything was placed there to honor the Lord. And that's the way it should be. That's the way it's supposed to be. And so you could tell that the Lord was present there with it. Amen? And that's the way a wedding is supposed to be. Amen? The reason I'm saying that, tonight I'm going to talk to you a little bit about the wedding. There's a wedding, not about Luke and Hannah's, but about the wedding of the Lamb, the marriage of the Lamb. Now we, last week, spent, as I said, some time, quite a bit of time, on about the bride getting herself ready. But the Jewish wedding, back in the times of Christ and before the times of Christ, there was significance in everything that was done in the wedding. The way things was handled up to the wedding, there was significance. And in those, of course, being the Jews, being God's people, the things that were accomplished, the things that was done to picture many things that was in Jesus Christ's wedding with his saints, his bride. And so, of course, God did that through his word. And so tonight we're going to try to help us to look at a picture of a Jewish wedding and say, what happened and how does it relate to the Lord Jesus Christ and the time when he will join himself with us. First of all, usually the wedding or the two participants, usually the parents arranged this. Now, you say, Brother Ross, should that... I'm just simply saying to you, that's the way they did it. It was arranged. Usually, it's not like it was here, a boy looks around and finds a girl, and they begin to go. The parents done the arranging of the wedding. Put the two together. That's the way they done it. And then there come a time when the groom... after this was all taken care of, the groom would go to the bride's house and to get himself a bride, to speak with the prospective bride. Well, that's what Jesus Christ did. He left his heavenly Father's home, and he came to this earth to seek himself a bride. It was all planned by the heavenly Father. Now, one of the things that they did was the father of the woman, the bride, a lot of times would negotiate with the groom or the groom's father, and they would negotiate together a price that had to be paid. Now, when Jesus came, there was no negotiation, but there was a price established. A price that had to be paid for his bride. You understand what that price was. That price was his precious blood on Calvary's cross. Nothing else could purchase his bride. Nothing else could. He couldn't have us if he was not willing to pay that. And of course, that's why he came. He was willing to pay it. And he did pay it. He paid the highest price that's ever been paid for a bride. He gave himself, shed his blood to purchase us, redeem us, buy us back. The next thing usually that they did was when the bridegroom paid the purchase price, there was a marriage covenant established. In other words, once that price was paid, there was a covenant that was established between the two people, the bride and the bridegroom. At that point in time, that bride was considered the husband of the, in other words, the groom had a bride, and she was his bride from that moment on. Not just after they got married. At that point, when the covenant was established, she became his bride. Now let me just go a little rabbit track a little bit. I believe, that's personally what I believe, when it talks about in divorces, when it talks about that except for the sin of fornication, can there be a divorce? I believe that's talking about when they are what we would call engaged or espoused to be married, where it never been consummated. And at that point, if there was fornication, then that would break it. But it had never been consummated and could get what they call a divorce, because in the eyes of the Jewish folk, they were married at the point of the covenant being established. They were married. They were husband and wife. There was going to be a time between when they would actually consummate the wedding, but they was husband and wife. You go back and read the story of Joseph and Mary, and you'll find that that's what happened there. He thought during the espousal that Mary had done something wrong during the espousal. And of course, the Holy Spirit of God said, no, you marry her. It's okay. So what I'm saying to you is, they were regarded as husband and wife even though there was no physical union established. And as I said, I know a lot of people don't believe this, but I do believe it. I believe that's where God says divorce is out. Now listen to me. If you've already been divorced, you listen to me. Your pastor's not on you. I'm not against you. I'm for you. I love you. And you are where you are, and so don't you feel bad about this, and don't you think somebody's down on you. What I'm trying to teach is the ones who've never been divorced and the young people coming up, when you marry, it's forever. That's what I'm trying to teach. And don't you for one minute, because this pastor does not look down upon anyone who's divorced and remarried. I love you from the bottom of my heart, and I want to be your pastor. And you are where you are. You can be used of God. You are no second-class Christian. Not for one moment. So I want you to understand that, where I'm coming from. But at the same time, I want to teach our young people and our young couples that haven't been, I want to teach them it is not right to do so. And so when you get married, you stay married for the rest of your life. Amen. That is proper. That is right. We need more of that teaching. You see, whenever you open a door that it's all right, don't worry. You hear this all the time, you know. If it don't work out, I'll just get me another one. That's the world's view. That's not the biblical view. Okay? So again, now what I've said to you, I'm saying it, and believe me, I'm saying it in kindness, but I want these young people who grows up in this church to understand. Matthew, one of these days when you get married, I imagine you will. Buddy, it's forever. And there's nothing that breaks it. Someone says, well, I know, but if it's fornication, could break that. I don't believe that. What did we ever do to Jesus? We hung him on a cross, and he says, you're to love each other as I loved you. He forgave us for everything. And I believe that forgiveness needs to be in the picture. I believe that's what God wants. Okay? Doesn't make it right. It shouldn't be. I know all of those things, and it should not be. But what I'm saying is, that's where forgiveness steps in. That's where God's forgiveness steps in. You see. But anyway,
This bride belongs to the groom. At that point, she is his forever. Now, Jesus Christ, when we become believers, we become set aside, sanctified, set aside for him. Now, the wedding hasn't taken place yet, folks, has it? The wedding to Christ, to the marriage of the Lamb, has not taken place, has it? Are you still his? Are you his forever, even though that wedding has not taken place? Sure. You're his forever. And so at that point, they was established, she was his. When you got saved and I got saved, it was established that we are his. Wedding hadn't taken place yet, but we're his forever and ever and ever. Now, the moment that this covenant was established, the bride was declared his mate. She was his forever. And to seal that, they usually drank from a cup to seal the covenant that they was going to keep themselves true to the Lord, or true to each other, until the day when the groom would come back and take her and make her his wife, which was a period of time we'll talk about here in just a moment. So they drank of a cup. The Lord Jesus Christ at the Last Supper established the communion service, what we call the communion service, where we drink of a cup and we remember him. Who are we remembering? We're remembering our groom. Oh, I know we're remembering our Savior, but we're remembering the groom who's going to be ours one of these days. And every time the communion service is taken, that's a very special time in the life of a Christian. We are to remember him. We have a covenant with him. We are his, and he is ours. And nothing can break that whatsoever. I'm going to take you over to Matthew, the 26th chapter of Matthew, just for a moment. Keep your place there. But 26th chapter of Matthew. And let me start reading at verse number 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Now, it's just the pastor's belief. One point is, he said there'll be a day when I'm going to drink it with you again. I believe he's talking about the feast, the wedding feast. And I personally, the reason I'm saying this, you can believe what you wish because it doesn't really matter. I believe that feast is going to take place on earth after we come back and he gets things set up, his millennial kingdom gets up. And the reason I believe that is because he said that he would eat with us again in his Father's kingdom. I don't believe he's talking about kingdom of heaven there. I believe he's talking about the kingdom that he's going to establish when he brings his bride with him back to this earth. But regardless of that, he's promised to eat with us again. And he would drink that with us again at the feast. I just kind of wanted to mention that because the communion service, if we could just get it a little more important in our hearts, that every time we have communion service, there is much going on or should be going on in the heart of a Christian. He is, yes, it's a time of cleansing. Certainly is. It's a time of remembering. It's a special, precious time to remember what Jesus Christ did for us. But I think it's also a time of remembering our future, of what it's going to be like to be with him forever, because the covenant has been established. And we are his. No matter what anybody says, we are his. So the Lord Jesus Christ established that at the Last Supper. Now, after the marriage covenant was in effect, the groom would leave the bride's home and return to his father's home. Many times for at least a year. Most of the time, let me say, for a year. Sometimes longer than that, but at least a year he would go, he would leave the bride's home, he would go back to the father's house, and he would be there for at least a year before he came and got his bride. Now, when Jesus Christ got his bride established, in other words, the work done that would establish his bride being won to him, he went back home to his father's house. And he's there today, and we're waiting. We're anxious for the day when he comes after us. But there's been a period of time, almost a period less than 2,000 years, somewhere in that area, that he's been away from us, but there's a period of time there that he went back to his father's house. Now, during this period of separation, two things happened. The bride would go and she would begin to get her wardrobe ready. She would begin to prepare for marriage. Now, if you remember last week, we spent a lot of time talking about the bride getting herself ready. And right now, we're getting our wardrobe ready. I'm talking about the righteousness of the saints. We have Christ's righteousness. That's a necessity. But he is busy about cleaning us and up and preparing us for that day when we will stand with him at the marriage. Amen. So we know that the bride gathered her wardrobe together and prepared for this married life. The groom would go back and prepare the father's house for his future bride. They would usually build on to the father's house. That's what they did back then. They would have, here's the father's house. Well, they would just build on to the father's house, and he would go back, get his bride, and they'd move into that newly built on place. Well, that's what Jesus is doing now. The Bible teaches us that Jesus Christ is in heaven preparing a place for us in the Father's house. He said his Father's house had many mansions. And he said also, he said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And so the bride, during this time, the bride is busy about preparing herself, getting ready for married life. And let me say to you too, over in the book of Ephesians, fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians, we know that Jesus sent teachers and pastors to help prepare the bride. That's what we're for. We're to preach the word of God to you to help prepare you and get you cleansed and get myself cleansed, ready to meet our wonderful Savior, our wonderful groom. And he's busy about doing that. See, that's that. You know, we could go into a long thing on this thing, but that's one of the things that people need to grasp a hold of and realize and understand. When God calls a preacher, a pastor, he's got a purpose for that. He puts him in a church. That one of the main things my responsibility is to you is to preach the word of God to you and help you get cleaned up and perfected for your Savior. And so when I preach the word of God to you, it is right for me to do that. And I see things that are not going right. It's right for me to reprove that. Because that's what pastors and teachers are for. That's why we're here. That's why God sent us. To perfect the saints. Amen. So he's getting his bride ready. And then that's why he deals with you about your sin and my sin. He doesn't want imperfection. If you're a Christian here tonight, if you're God's child, I'll guarantee you one thing for sure. That if you've been Christian any length of tall whatsoever, you've went through a process of God sanctifying you and working with you about your sin. And he will continue to do that till he comes. He never quits on us. And yet we fight him. We stand against him. We just fight him. We think, but he's doing that for our good and for his glory. And that's the whole purpose of the Christian life. You know, if he was done with it, just take us on home. You see, it's not just, and yes, he does. He wants you to be a witness, and my, yes, he wants you to be a witness. But he also wants you and I to clean up. Amen? So that's where, if you get in a church where there is no preaching on holiness, no preaching on doing right, no preaching the Bible, saying this is what God says, you're not going to clean up. And you know what? That's the way a lot of people want it. Exactly the way a lot of people want it. They want it that way. They don't want to be preached at all the time about their sin. But anyway, after this period of separation, the groom, usually the best man, and a bunch of male attendants head for the bride's house. And you know, usually the way they did it, is what I have read, was this. They usually do it of a night. They'll take off of a night and they'll have torches in their hands. And they'll make this procession to the bride's home. Well, I want to tell you something. Jesus is coming. And he's going to come from his Father's house. And I believe he's going to come with a host of angels. And he's coming after his bride. Amen? Now, don't you look forward to that? He's coming after his bride. Now, the bride was expecting him to come. But she didn't know when. She just didn't know when he was going to show up. She knew approximately when he would come. But she didn't know when. That's why in the before they got to the bride's house, someone would run ahead and shout and say, "The groom is coming!" That's why when you read in Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, he comes with a shout of the archangel. Coming and shouting. And we, of course, it'll happen so quickly. I understand all of that, that it'll just be in a twinkling of an eye. But it's a shout to let them know the bridegroom is coming. He's on his way. Look forward to that. Jesus is going to come after his bride. Now, the groom then received the bride and all of her attendants, and they would head back to the Father's house. Well, that's what you and I is going to do. Jesus is going to come, and in the rapture of the church, he's going to take his bride home back to the Father's house in heaven. Amen? And it'll be a marvelous, wonderful thing. The shout will come. Jesus will appear in the air. We'll be called up to meet him in the air, and we'll head for the Father's house. Amen? And after that, the wedding on earth, what happens is at that point, usually they go into the privacy of the bridal chamber, and in the privacy of that place, the wedding, the marriage is consummated. We go into the presence of Jesus Christ to be with him forever and ever and ever. To be united with him forever, and nothing can separate us from him. I've shook my head down through the years when he says he'll never leave us nor forsake us. He's saying that where he goes, that's where we go. I've shook my head in wonderment. I really have, thinking, why would he want us around for all of eternity? But he does. But he does. The wonderful love of God, Jesus Christ, wants us for all eternity to be with him. Again, if you go back in the scriptures, you find different places in God's word where this picture is seen. I'm not going to go back there, but I'll just give you a little bit of it. If you go back to the time when Abraham wanted to get a bride for his son Isaac, It's a beautiful picture. Abraham, in that scripture, now remember, types always break down because we're humans. But in that picture, Abraham represents God the Father. And he sends his servant. And he represents the Holy Spirit of God to get a bride for his son Isaac, who represents Jesus Christ. It's a marvelous story. You go back and you read that. It is a marvelous, wonderful thing. How God the Father sent the servant to get a bride for his son. Now, folks, and when that's all completed, when everyone is in the fold, Jesus will come after that bride and take us home to be with him. Then, after that, there'll be a great wedding feast. As I said, I believe it's going to happen on earth, but there's going to be a great wedding feast. We kid and we make jokes about what's going to be served and all of those things. And, you know, I understand that, but folks, it's going to be a great wedding feast. Great wedding supper, you see, with Jesus Christ and his bride and those also that are invited to it. We didn't have time tonight to cover all of that, but there's also going to be those who are invited to it. Amen. But listen, it's about the groom. It's about him. I know the bride is important, folks, but we're not near as important as a groom. Without the groom, we would absolutely be nothing. Amen. So again, I simply say to you, remember, it's going to be a great day. It's going to be a wonderful day. Look forward to that day, folks, and clean ourselves up. You're going to stand in the presence, and I am too, in the presence of holiness. For Jesus Christ is holy. You and I are going to stand in his presence. And we need to understand whose presence we're going to stand in. The Son of God, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, all holiness. So it's not wrong for God to ask of us as a wife to make ourselves ready. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again thanking you for the wonderful, wonderful promises of your word. I thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, our wonderful Savior, our wonderful bridegroom. And Lord, I thank you for God the Father, who loved us so much, he allowed his Son to come, and for God the Holy Spirit, who lives within us. Even though, Lord, you find out that he's not mentioned a whole lot, just like Abraham's servant was not mentioned much. But the Holy Spirit of God is the one that's convicting and drawing out and preparing a bride for the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to be evident of that. And Lord, to mind the word of God and do what we should do. And at the same time, rejoice in the coming day. We'll thank and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.